Good evening. How are y'all doing? Doing blessed? Doing good? That's good. Good to see y'all here this evening in the sanctuary. And anybody that's online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by praising with "We Have Come Into His House." We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. About yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. redeemed, how I love to proclaim is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose his child and forever I am. Amen. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Please welcome Pastor Steve. Oh, pick a hymn. Anybody have a hymn? Something that the Lord's put on your heart this week? Song in your heart? Amazing Grace? What'd you say? Amazing Grace. 343, I'm pretty sure I got that one. Oh, nice. 343, I remembered. All right. Amazing grace. Peace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen.
All right, amen. That's good singing. Good singing, amen? Hallelujah, all right. Well, let's do some prayer requests or some praises. Praises, I got one. I got a praise. We finished our downstairs bathroom this weekend. Woo, don't have to go upstairs no more. When your hips and knees are getting as old as mine, them stairs start to matter, amen? So it was good. And then I found myself, I think it was today, I forgot it was finished and went upstairs and got to Stephanie. I was like, why am I even up here? I got a bathroom down. I go, let me turn back around. So, amen. That's a huge, huge praise. Took me a year and a half to do the kids' bathroom. It's taken me a year to do this bathroom. And I'm proposing I'm going to have our bathroom done within 6 months. She's not right. She's like, show me I ain't writing nothing down. Amen. All right, well, let's say any other praises. Yes, ma'am. That is awesome. Amen. Is he 2 months in yet or come? 6 weeks in. Okay. Tested neg. That's a great praise. Amen. And then your second one. Amen. All right, so this is the call. It's chemo tabs, or okay, going to take what the insurance gives them. All right, amen. Other praises, yes, sir. All right. Wow. Okay. Finances. Finances for the rehab. Okay. That's the praise. Got the two stints. Prayer request is rehab. She gets that all set up with the finances. Yes, ma'am, Miss Alita? Amen. Amen. All right. Cataract. And it's amazing. You had it on your right eye, and I can't even tell anything's happened to you. But you still feel something in your eye? Do you feel something a little bit? It's amazing they can do that. Praise the Lord. All right. What else? Other praises? Anything else? All right. Scriptures. Anybody got a testimony? Scripture. Yes, ma'am. Amen, girl. I needed to hear that one tonight. Amen, amen. Psalm 119:66, that's a good one. All right, somebody else. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah. Face, I will heal. Amen. Amen. That's a good verse. Good verse, good verse. What else? Any other passages? Testimonies? All right. Anything else? Okay. Prayer requests. We got one for Lisa. Other prayer requests. Yes, ma'am. He did.
Oh. 95, I think. She's been full-time caregiver for him since June.
Okay. 95. All right, all right. What else? Vicki Coon's niece. Oh, yeah. Kimberly Burrow. They're not related to the Joe Burrow quarterback, are they? You don't know. Okay. Mississippi. He's from Mississippi, I think. All right. Niece Kimberly Burrow. All right. COVID. Want to be in prayer for Brother Ray Williams and the passing of his brother, his family. Brother Ray is the last survivor of his family, so he's talking today. He's the last of the Mohicans. So we said, Brother Ray, you got to keep on keeping on. He goes, well, it's really not up to me. I said, well, but you just keep on with a want to. Amen. Keep on with a want to. So we'll be in prayer for Brother Ray. Passing of his last surviving sibling, brother, passed away last week, and they had the funeral, of course, just this past week. So, anyway, be in prayer for them. And then we have our first confirmed COVID case over at the school. So, pre-K class, we've got a little boy, got the results back today, and his mom and his dad and himself. So, all tested positive for the COVID. So that's a serious deal in that, you know, we don't have a pre-K campus and a elementary campus and a junior high campus and a high school campus. It's one campus, and everybody shares the same gym, the same bathrooms, the same lunchroom, all of that jazz. So we got one teacher that's been vaccinated, And we got several teachers that have health issues. So we want to really be in prayer that we get through the next week. They get fall break next week. So they get a whole week off. Right? Public school doesn't get that, but our school gets fall break and spring break. So anyway, the little boy that's sick, he got no symptoms but a cough. But the cough is when he's shedding virus out into the air. Mom and dad, I think, are pretty sicker than him. But anyway, that's the deal. We've been lucky. God's watched over us. We've been praying. We're going to have to really turn our prayers up now, right? Amen? All right, so COVID, that new hope. Pray that doesn't get any worse. All right, other prayer requests. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, Gene's brother-in-law, what's his name? Donnie? Donnie Jones. Okay. Baker. Kidney stone. All right, Donnie Jones with cancer. Or they're going to PET scan him for cancer. And then son, Baker with kidney stone. Okay, got it, brother. Amen. What else, what else? Okay. Miss Vicky, how's your back? Better? So the shot worked, huh? We'll see. And is Sharon scheduled for surgery? Okay. She's been to the doctor once. Okay. And he said come back Thursday. All right. So Sharon's foot surgery. All right. What else? Unspokens. All right, all right. Anything else? You ready, brother? Ready to pray? Amen. You still with me? You had a long day? Did you get a nap? I did too. Amen. I'm refreshed. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and lift these up. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we thank you that we're able to gather back here tonight and, Lord, get in the Word and do some study, Lord, on your kingdom and who we are as citizens in it, what it means to be a kingdom citizen. Lord, before we get into that, we want to lift up these praises and bear these burdens. And, Lord, we praise you for your amazing grace that we got to sing about tonight. We praise you for your incredible forgiveness, for your love, your grace, your mercy, all that you've bestowed upon us, Lord. We just thank you for it. We praise you for it. And, Lord, we thank you for how, in spite of ourselves, you continue to use us in your kingdom, and you continue to allow us to be a mouthpiece for the gospel and a source of obedience to the Word. And, Lord, we're thankful that sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong. And, Lord, we just pray when we get it wrong, we would circle back around and seek your forgiveness and repent of where we messed it up, and we would go forward with you. Lord, there may be some here tonight that need to do that right now before we lift these prayer requests up. They need to take care of some kind of sin issue or shorten their sin account, Lord, so that their vessel is clean, ready, and raring to go as we lift these things up here tonight. We thank you that the Holy Spirit works through us as we pray. We seek to speak the words, Lord, from your throne and give them back to you in prayer. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in the prayer. Lord, when we don't know how to pray, we're thankful that Jesus is right there making intercession on our behalf. So, Lord, we begin tonight with these praises. We're thankful that Johnny Hyman has tested negative. We continue to pray for his healing, Lord, his complete healing with no lasting side effects from this COVID-19 Delta variant, Lord. We pray that you'd raise his body up. Lord, here we are 6 weeks. He's 6 weeks in the hospital. He's been on the vent. Now he's on the trach. And God, we're thankful that he's tested negative and that his wife can now visit him. We pray that that will be an encouragement and give him even more will to live and to get better. And Lord, with his want to get better, and with the church praying that he gets better, and with the doctors treating him to get better, Lord, we just pray he gets better and he gets well and he gets up out of that hospital soon and very soon. Lord, we're thankful that AstraZeneca has agreed to take Paul and Pat's insurance for this chemo treatment for Brother Paul, this oral chemo treatment. Thank you for that great blessing and answer to prayer, Lord, and that they will be able to afford and provide that chemo treatment for Brother Paul these next months and perhaps even up to a year. Lord, we praise you that John Fuller, his Lisa, Lord, able to have these two stents put in. And now we pray for her rehab and, Lord, working the finances out there and all those circumstances and situations. We praise the Lord that Miss Alita's cataract surgery was a success. And, Lord, we just pray that that vision gets clearer and crisper each and every day. And, Lord, we pray that you just get her ready for that left eye now to have that cataract surgery. Lord, we're thankful for the scripture that was shared tonight, Psalm 119:66, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We praise you for your word, Lord. We thank you for sending it to us and helping us, convicting us and directing us. And, Lord, just giving us what we need at the hour we need it. We're thankful for your word and how the Holy Spirit uses it in our lives. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we lift up Stephanie's co-worker, Lori Smith, and her family and the passing of her dad. Lord, we pray you comfort them and help them through this time of loss. And Lord, just help Lori with all the details, making all the arrangements, Lord, and just getting everything taken care of for that funeral memorial service, whatever they decide to do. We lift up Vicki Coons' niece to you, Kimberly Burrow, who's got the COVID, Lord. We pray for her healing. We pray that she would not take a turn for the worse, but Lord, we pray that she would have a mild case and that her body would get better quickly, respond and get through this, having antibodies to the virus. We lift up Brother Ray and his family tonight, Ray and Lily, and the loss of Brother Ray's last surviving sibling. Lord, we just pray you encourage Brother Ray. Thank you for the long years you've given to Brother Ray. All of these siblings that have passed have been younger than him, and he just seems to just keep going and living. And Lord, we're thankful for him and Lily here in our church. We pray that you give him good health, Lord, and just keep him encouraged as he now is the only surviving member of his family. Lord, we pray for this COVID case at our school, New Hope Christian School. We pray that there not be any other children come down sick tonight, tomorrow, the rest of this week. We pray that none of these teachers, Lord, would come down sick with this COVID. We pray a hedge of protection around each one. Certainly, Lord, the ones that have extenuating health conditions, God, that have not been vaccinated, we pray your hand of protection on them, around them. Lord, we pray that you help them as potentially several have been exposed to the COVID, depending on when this little guy was exposing the virus as he was here the last part of the week. We lift up Gene Fuller's brother-in-law to you, Lord. Donnie, getting ready to go through this PET scan. We pray that that PET scan would show no metastasis, no spreading of cancer, Lord. We pray that his body is clean of it. Lord, if it does have some cancer in it, around it, Father God, we pray that they've discovered it soon enough, quick enough, that they're able to treat Donnie and get him back on the path of health. We lift up his son, Baker, with a kidney stone. Those that have had those know exactly what he's going through. We pray for his comfort. We pray for relief. We pray that this thing might pass and that, Lord, you give the physicians, the doctors, wisdom and discernment on how best to treat that kidney stone. Lord, we lift up Miss Vicki and her back tonight. We pray that these shots that she's received would do what they're designed to do, would bring some relief, would give her some pain-free days, maybe a pain-free month or two, God. We pray that that they'd really, steroid would really kick in and reduce that inflammation and give her some relief. We lift up Sharon's foot surgery, and we know that foot surgery is coming here in a couple weeks. We pray that foot would just continue to heal up, so to speak, so they can go in and reset the bones and get that whole thing back on the path to being whole and healing. But Lord, we lift Sharon up to you. We pray you just keep her encouraged. It's got to be rough having a bum foot, not being able to go like she's used to going. But Lord, we just pray you see her through and you help her during this time. Lord, the unspokens that were mentioned tonight, we're thankful that we get to bring those to you each and every time, Lord, that somebody mentions that, we write that down. And Lord, you know what the unspokens are. And Lord, we know, we praise you that you know. We don't have to say it. You know what they are, Lord. And you know the burdens we carry. You know the pain that's associated with these prayer requests. You know perhaps the angst and the anguish that goes with it. Lord, we pray that we lay that stuff down and receive your peace. Receive your tender care. Receive your encouragement, Lord, as we turn these over to you another day, another week, another month. Lord, thank you that you hear us and that you're the God of all creation. And Lord, your timing, Lord, we just don't quite understand it. But Lord, you are at work behind the scenes as we pray and as we seek for things to get right. And Lord, people to get saved and relationships to get healed and all of that stuff these unspoken prayer requests represent. Thank you, Lord, that we can bring them tonight. Thank you that we can pray to you tonight. We praise you and we love you for all that you're doing in our lives, for what you're doing in our church. Thank you, Lord, for the visitors. Thank you for what's going on in the school. Thank you, Lord, for Sunday school. We just praise you and thank you for all the different ministries here. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right. Well, we are in Matthew chapter 13 again. I promise to get, well, you know, I hope to get back into Revelation coming this Wednesday. But we want to continue, or I want to finish up what we started Wednesday night. So I'm in, pardon me, Matthew chapter 13. I invite you to stand right quick. We'll just read verses 10 through 12 again. But we're doing these parables. These seven parables in Matthew 13, we want to have a good handle on what it means when it talks about this stuff in verses 10 through 12. Matthew 13, 10 through 12 says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' Jesus answered them, 'To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven,'" the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, "'but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him.'" Amen. Thank you for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, last Wednesday, we began elaborating, so to speak, on the present earthly kingdom. What is the present earthly kingdom? That is labeled in Scripture as the kingdom of heaven here in Matthew. And in other Gospels, it's labeled as the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. The emphasis is on the sphere of Jesus' rule, kingdom of God. It's on God's kingdom, or the ruler of the sphere. Okay, so it's approaching the kingdom in two different perspectives. Jesus' kingdom, we said, is in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in us at salvation. In us at salvation. Now, that is based on a fact. You may not feel the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, you get in the Word, you stay in the Word, you pray, you get around other believers, you worship, you get genuine and free in your worship, you will feel the Spirit. Now, I'm not being charismatic. I'm not talking about speaking in an unknown language or an unknown tongue. You will have a sense of the hand of God on you and in your life, right? Man, I want to tell you, I was exhausted this morning. Exhausted. Being in the Word all week, having the congregation pray for us and pray for me, having people for you, knowing that Jesus is for me, not against me. I could have gone another 30 minutes, could have gone another hour. I don't think you could have, but I could have. Amen? Why? Because I sensed the anointing of the Spirit of God on his preaching, Because I am a kingdom citizen. If you're saved, you are a kingdom citizen tonight. Amen? That's who you are. And so we talked about how by our obedience to the will and the word of God and our testimony, we talked about how Jesus' reign is thus evident on this earth in this time, right? And so the main point last Wednesday was Jesus's present earthly kingdom exists spiritually in the hearts of his people. Now, we began to kind of trace this kingdom concept. We began to trace this biblical kingdom truth through the Word of God. And we said in the Old Testament, we find only limited descriptions concerning God's kingdom. We made the comment, we said most messianic prophecies in the Old Testament point to which of Jesus' advents. The tractor guy said the second advent. The framer said the first advent. Amen. So we know it's the what? It's the second advent. Amen. We said the kingdom of heaven has two important but distinct aspects. First is the universal kingdom, which includes every created thing in every time and in every place. Isn't that going to be cool one day? It's going to be cool one day to be outside of time. To be outside of it, to be in eternity in a body that don't ever grow old, and to be able to look at time like a thing. Time will be a thing to us. It won't be something that we're trapped in. It'll be something that we can look at and say, oh, wow, check that out. I wonder if we'll be able to go back and look at each day that we lived right here on this earth. Like there's a library, right? A library of time, right? That we could go back and look at the creation of the universe. I mean, maybe there's something we could actually hear God speaking everything into creation. And what language would he have used when he spoke everything into creation? Well, I'm sure it was English. Well, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. Amen. Maybe it was Hebrew or Aramaic, or maybe it was New Testament Greek, or who knows what it was. Some kind of heavenly language that God spoke everything into creation. Have you ever thought about that? When you speak something, that sound wave goes and goes and goes and goes. So when you praise the Lord, your praise goes and goes. And goes. And it exits this atmosphere and it goes out into outer space. Now when you put a telescope on it, a sound listening telescope, everybody's speech and everything that everybody said comes across as white noise, right? But the Holy Spirit can discern what all that is. Amen. It's amazing to me. We're talking about the kingdom, right? First is the universal kingdom, which includes every created thing in every time and place. The second aspect of God's kingdom is that his rule is present through others. That's where we come in. Both the universal and present aspects of the kingdom, we said last time Wednesday, are seen in the Lord's Prayer, right? In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, when he commands us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven." In heaven, we talked about, refers to God's universal and direct reign. Whereas on earth refers to the present kingdom in which only his saints are his subjects in the fullest sense. So you are a subject of the king, if you're saved, in the fullest sense, right? You don't need a promotion. You don't need anything else. You are a subject of his kingdom in the fullest sense. We talked about from the beginning of creation that God really had intended the earth to be ruled by his human instruments. Adam and Eve, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, man, let's make them in our own image, right? And so they did. They made man in their own image, right? And God put them in the garden. And the whole point of that garden that beautiful, perfect garden was for them to work it, right? And for them to live in it and exist in it and expand the perfect nature of the garden. Further and further, that was the whole point. Further and further and further. And who knows if they would have stayed the course? Who knows if they would have obeyed, right? Which they didn't. But who knows if they would have? When? 200 years, 300 years, 1,000 years down the road, God would have let them have a little taste from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't ready when they did it. When they disobeyed, they weren't ready, man. You know we're going to see that tree in glory one day, don't you? The knowledge of the tree of good and evil. It will be there. Amen? It will be there, right? After the fall, God maintained certain dominion over the earth through human mediators. We talked about that on Wednesday. And since that time, every person who has trusted in Him has seen or has been a channel for expressing His will and power on earth. I gave you some examples. Abel, Seth, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Rachel, Joseph, Moses, David. We said there are countless others that have mediated the Lord's rule on the earth. We talked about how through select individuals, God gave His holy word, right? He gave His holy word, which was written down for all men, for all humanity to know and obey. And we ended with this. We said, in His word, He revealed some things. What are some things that He has revealed in His word? Anybody? Okay. His love. What else has God revealed in His word to us? And answer me in the form of a question. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to be that new Jeopardy host, right? Amen. And pose your answers in the form of a question. No, I'm just kidding. What has he revealed to us through His word? He has revealed this. He's revealed His nature. He's love, right? But He's also a God of justice as well. He's revealed His will. His will is for what? All mankind to come to a saving knowledge. Amen? Experience the gospel. He has revealed His moral and spiritual standards for mankind, right? And He's revealed His promises of redemption, His promises of deliverance, His promises of taking care of our sin, His promises of restoration, His promises of an eternal life with Him, His promises of a relationship. Amen? He's revealed a lot of that stuff to us in His Word. Now, as we begin this evening, I don't think we got this far, Wednesday night. You can remind me if we did, but as we begin this evening, in my mind, maybe wrong here, but as we begin this evening, He called out a special people. Right? Who's the special people He called out? The nation of? That's right, the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, the Word of God reads, "And you shall be to Me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." Now, out of that group, He raised up prophets. He raised up priests. He raised up kings to give special leadership on His behalf. When the Son of God finally got here, and Jesus left the abode of heaven, and Jesus took on human flesh and tabernacled with us, so to speak, here in a body like ours, He was God's unique mediator between God and man. If you ever curious about what a mediator does, talk to Brother Ronnie. That's what he does. He mediates between management and labor. Correct? Right? And sometimes you have to get somebody to help you. What is that guy called? Arbitrator. That's right. Arbitrator. When you can't quite get them together, sometimes you got to go to arbitration, and that guy's trying to mediate between all of the different parties. When Jesus put on human flesh, what was He doing? He was mediating between God and man. Praise God, amen. Because my sin And their sin stood in the way from them getting to God, right? Because God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. Amen? And so humanity had sinned. Humanity had disobeyed. And the human race was fallen. And so here comes Jesus taking on this human flesh. It's beautiful. Amen? He was the mediator, the divine human instrument of rule, who in his own right deserved to establish and reign over God's earthly kingdom. But what did the Jews do? What have we seen them do in Matthew's gospel? They didn't put Jesus in a chair and lift him up on their shoulders and say, "This is our Messiah, the Son of the living God." They didn't do that, did they? No, they rejected him, man. Yeah, they rejected him. So when the Son was rejected, God continued to rule through those who belong to Christ. That is the beauty of the present earthly kingdom. That is the beauty of the kingdom of heaven, right? Who belong to Christ, those who were now empowered with his own indwelling Holy Spirit. So, I know you know this, but just be reminded of it. From Pentecost, from the time of Pentecost through the present day, until Christ returns, Christians, me and you, we are God's mediatorial, we help to mediate between God and man, we are God's mediatorial representative, we're his emissaries, if you will, his ambassadors, and we've been put here to rule for him, be good stewards, to rule on this earth. Now, you know this is true. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians 5:18, the Word of God reads, "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." And then I love what it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:18. It's a great part. It's a good little phrase here, right? "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Amen? We look at the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, is it? Yep, 28, 18 through 20. And it talks about all power and authority has been given to him, right? So us, he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the ethne, of all the nations, immersing them, baptizing them in the character," right? We think baptizing them, we're Baptists, so we think, yeah, baptizing them, yeah. Put them in the water and dunk them, right? No, but that passage is talking about immersing them in the character of God and in the character of the Son and in the character of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, in the midst of that, they're going to get water baptized as well. But the Great Commission, Matthew 20, 18 through 20, even during the tribulation, as we have gone through our Revelation studies, God will raise up. Brother John Thornhill was talking about in the Sunday school teacher meeting this morning. God will raise up 144,000 faithful believers from among the 12 tribes of Israel and innumerable host of Gentiles who get saved from their preaching, who get saved from other Gentiles that got saved, their preaching, who get saved from the two witnesses preaching. It's going to be incredible. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 says, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel." Revelation 7, 9 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands." The present kingdom through history has attracted both true and has attracted both false citizens. We touched on that a little bit today, talking about the tares amongst the wheat, right? That will remain the case until the end. That's what Jesus says, right? And what we covered in the passage, right? I mean, hey, the devil has sown tares amongst the wheat in the world, right? And part of the world is the churches in the world. And so we got some tears. How many? I don't know, man. Way above my pay grade. I'm hoping it's just one. I'm hoping it's no more. No more, no how, God. Let it be just one. Not two, not five, not ten, one. Amen? Oh, my goodness. If we approach the Bible, because some groups do, they look at this and they don't see this as God having saved and unsaved in the church, or God having saved and unsaved in the world, right? They don't see it that way. They see how they interpret these passages. They see it as you can be saved, and then if you're not careful, you can lose your salvation. That's how they approach it, right? Failure to understand that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, through history, has attracted both true and false citizens and will remain so until the end. Failure to understand that truth has caused untold confusion in interpreting many Bible passages. And one of the fallouts of inaccurate interpretation of Scripture is that many sincere Christians believe that salvation can be lost. Gene, there was a point in time you thought that, right? And you were sincere. You were sincere in your belief. You were trying to believe the right thing, right? It happens. It happens. Good, meaning folk believe that salvation can be lost. Careful study of Scripture shows that although the true subjects of God's kingdom are only those who belong to Him by saving faith, those true citizens can only be distinguished from false ones only by God Himself. And that's going to happen at the where? The end of the age, man. The end of the age, right? Now for us, it will have already happened, because we will either have died or we will have been raptured. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. It will already happen for us. We will have already been culled out of the group, right? Amen. We'd already been culled. I'm glad I've been culled. Amen. Call me on up, God. Call me. Right? We will have already been culled. But for those that remain, that's coming at the end of the age. For example, God's chosen people, Israel, was always composed of both true and false. The true and the false. Even in the nation of Israel. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. Boy, Matthew is a revealing gospel. It says in Matthew 8, 12, it says, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out. Listen to it. It says, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew's gospel was written to the Jew, right? Written to the Jewish folks, right? Those sons of the kingdom obviously were not what? They were not true subjects of the king. Make sense? They were not true subjects of the king. And Jesus makes clear in his explanation of the parable of the wheat and tares that we covered this very morning. From the human perspective, the true sons of the kingdom and the sons of the evil one are often not distinguishable. It's just not, right? In the figure of the vine and the branches, Jesus illustrates the truth that many branches that seem to belong to the vine really do not. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John's Gospel. John chapter 15. I think I get you out on time. It's okay. Don't fret. John 15. Amen? Verse 2 reads, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, when I first started studying the Gospels and John 15, I thought that John 15, 2 was talking about a believer hastening his own death, right? Acting a fool, you know, backslidden to the point where God just says, You're not sending any, you're not helping, so come on home. You know, you're not pulling your kingdom weight, right? You're not helping build it. You know, you're off here in Sin City, and you're off here backslid, and you're off here living the prodigal, right? You're off here living the prodigal, and you've had chance after chance after chance to turn around and come on home. You're not bearing any fruit, that's what I thought, but I was wrong. But there is another passage that talks about the sin unto death. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Anybody? Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, "Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool." See, there's two tracks going on there. Do not be excessively wicked, and do not... What does a fool? A fool just don't listen. A fool don't listen to the truth. Do not be excessively wicked, and do not be a fool. Why should you die before your time? Why should you die before your time? Ecclesiastes 7:17. So that's what I thought 15:2 was. But 15:2 is not that at all. 15:2, if we keep with the context, so let's start it again. John 15, beginning in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, what does he do with that? Well, he prunes that sucker, right? He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Thank you, Jesus, for cleaning me. Amen? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Right? I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Right? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The people represented by those unfruitful branches were closely but superficially identified with Christ. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12 says, "But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's the second time you've heard that one. Condemned sons of the kingdom are never part of God's spiritual kingdom, and unproductive branches are never a part of Christ. They only appear to be from man's imperfect view, right? I mean, it looks... Brother John, it looks plumb from my view, right? But we throw a plumb bob up on it, or we put a 6-foot level on it, and guess what? It ain't. It ain't. It needs to be shimmed. Not an eighth, but a quarter of an inch, amen? I mean, it really needs a good shimming, right? But I mean, to me, hey, I mean, it looks, it ain't. It's not, right? They aren't, right? But us with our imperfect view. And we want to do what? We want to see what? We want to see the best in people, don't we? Amen. We want to give people the benefit of the doubt, don't we? I mean, that's how I operate. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, you got to prove me wrong more than once, right? I mean, no, you didn't do that. You did not do that. Oh, you did do that. Oh, well, wait a minute. No, you didn't do that. I'm looking for the best here. I'm looking for you to rise above. Man, I'm praying for you. I'm looking for you to rise above. Oh, you done did it again. My soul. But we want to see what? Ron, don't we? We want to see the best in people. Amen? We want to. So our view is not as perfect, precise, straight, holy as God's view. Amen? Make sense? Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. I'm burning through my time here. It says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed." The word of God has not failed. Amen? Romans 9, 6 and 7. "For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac." Isaac was a Christ type, by the way. "Through Isaac your descendants will be saved." In other words, it's through the Messiah they will be saved. "Through Isaac your descendants will be named." Romans chapter 2, verse 29 says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly." And so I love this. Romans 2, 29, good verse. "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart. Amen? By the Spirit, not by the letter, and His praise is not from men, but from God. Yet when we study our Bibles, we find that such terms as Israel, such terms as God's people, such terms as disciples are frequently used in ways that include, in name, only, and real believers. In name only, and real believers. For example, the Gospels frequently speak of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, a group that included Judas, an unbelieving traitor, right? Throughout the visible church's history, she has always included people who have not trusted in Christ and who therefore do not belong to Him and are not a part of His spiritual body. Even during the millennium, when Christ has come for His second advent and He's ruling from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, even during the millennium when Christ perfectly and directly rules His kingdom here on earth, there will be disloyal citizens of the kingdom. How in the world can that be? The people that make it through the tribulation will marry and be given in marriage, and they will procreate and have kids and families for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. When Satan is released after the 1,000-year millennial reign, these false subjects who have rejected the gospel of their parents and grandparents and great-great-grandparents and great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, these will be the ones that Satan will gather together in his rebellious army for a last futile attempt to defeat the Christ per Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. God's universal kingdom over heaven and earth has no conditions. To exist is to be in that kingdom. But friend, to be in His mediatorial kingdom, to be in the kingdom here and now, requires intentional identity with Him. For the false citizen, the identity is hypocritical. For the false citizen, it's superficial. For the true citizen, the identity is genuine, being based on repentance, being based on faith in Christ, being based on the new life that faith in Him or her brings. Isn't your life different now because you're saved? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yes. Amen, amen. Mark 1:15 says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." When Christ bodily returns to earth, His indirect rule, all right, because He's ruling through us, His indirect rule in the mediatorial kingdom will become His direct rule in the millennial kingdom. And then in the eternal kingdom of the new heavens and the new earth. And that's where we're going to shine. Amen? That's where we're going to shine, right? We're going to shine there. God's kingdom and the church are distinct in that the kingdom preceded the church. Okay? The kingdom preceded the church. And will continue eternally after the church, as the bride, has been given to the groom, Jesus. Okay? It will continue. But during the present mediatorial period, where me and you are citizens and we're mediators between lost men and God in that we possess the gospel, during the present mediatorial period, often called the church age, the kingdom and the church run parallel and together. They're one and the same. That's the beauty of the church age. Amen? It's a beautiful time to be alive. Amen? It's a glorious time. Remember what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, as I've now blown past my time by 5 minutes. It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Remember that. You have been given the very ministry of reconciliation. That truth, that very truth of 2 Corinthians 5:18, that very truth of what we've been talking about, the mysteries of the kingdom have been revealed to you. That very truth, because you have ears to hear. That very truth is potent and powerful in your life. Potent and powerful. Ephesians 3, 5, and 6 says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to... I get the hairs on the back of my neck stand up when I read that. Which in other generations... Thank you, Holy Spirit. Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through his gospel. Thank you for the word tonight. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we pray that we have been set on high tonight, Lord. Set on high, not for our glory. Set on high for your glory. Set on high for your service. Set on high, Lord, to help somebody, to point somebody to the very kingdom that we're a part of, Lord. Thank you for the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for the words. Thank you for the intelligence that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's in us that uses this Word of God to communicate that gospel to lost people who desperately need to hear it. Lord, we pray for grandkids, and we pray for extended family, and we pray for sons and daughters, and we pray for those that we know and love, that we know they've not tasted. We know that they've not seen. We know that they've not experienced the gospel. And Lord, we pray that they see the gospel in us. And that, Lord, we're faithful to share the gospel with them every single opportunity we get. Oh, Holy Spirit, ring our bell. Let us know that we have a divine appointment. And Lord, may our hearts be so clean. May we be prayed up. Not that we're not going to quit sinning, but may we have a short sin account. And the Holy Spirit working in us, not grieved or quenched. And Lord, may we answer the bell. May we answer the appointment call, the appointment card to sow that seed and to share that gospel. Lord, if we're living or breathing, you're still using us. We're still in the game. We're still running the race. Aches and pains, all of it, Lord. We're still fighting the good fight for you. No, we don't remove the evil, but we do deal with the evil. And one of the ways we deal with it is by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can. Thank you that we've called us. And thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted us with your Holy Spirit, this ministry of reconciliation. Give us a great week this week, Lord. May we respond with grace, respond with peace, respond with words of wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, those of you watching online, I did not give you a formal welcome. So sorry about that. Glad you're here with us. We couldn't do it without you. You just keep on watching. We'll see you this coming Wednesday. We love you online. And happy birthday again to everybody online and everybody in here. And y'all have a great week. We'll see y'all later. Good night.